are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you on a Thursday edition of the program. What we're going to do today is dip into the Locked On 49ers mailbag. As is usually the case, Nick and I get a little long-winded. We plan on doing like 10 questions from Twitter and email, and we get to like two. So I've got a backlog of stuff that you guys want to talk about, and so this is your show. We're going to get into that mailbag, emails, Twitter, and have a little fun and talk about some 49ers and a lot of looking ahead to next week, a lot of looking ahead to next year, to the draft, and so we're going to dip into that mailbag and see where it takes us. And tomorrow's show is going to be a Film Friday. On Thursday, I've got the day off. I'm going to stay home. I'm going to watch a bunch of 49ers, especially last week's game. I really want to get into last week's game and maybe a little bit of the week before in Tampa, even though that game is ugly, and look at some of the rookies and how they're developing. And so that's what Friday's episode is going to be all about. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Spotify, anywhere you can find podcasts. You can find Locked On 49ers and all the podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. Find me on Twitter at BDPeacock. Or you can always email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. We got the Facebook and the Instagram and all that as well. So here we go. Let's start with Tony on Twitter. He said, am I wrong to think that Emmanuel Sanders going to IR, that the 49ers can play 8 in the box against Lindsay all day on Sunday? Yeah, so for those of you who did not hear, Emmanuel Sanders, I believe it was a torn Achilles. He's on IR, done for the year for the Broncos. So the 49ers secondary will not have to contend with Emmanuel Sanders. Demaryius Thomas already traded away from the Broncos. So they're going to be running out rookie wide receivers at wide receiver one and wide receiver two. They've got Cortland Sutton, the big-bodied wide receiver out of SMU, player I really liked. He went just a few picks before Dante Pettis in the second round, and then fourth-round pick Deshaun Hamilton, who's a smaller guy, actually a lot like Emmanuel Sanders, a little bit smaller, but not completely undersized, got the quicks, and so they're going to roll the rookies out there on Sunday against the 49ers, so that'll be a fun one to watch, and actually I think it'll be more fun, at least for me to watch. Emmanuel Sanders is a pretty good player, so I think that does help the 49ers, but they can't ignore those young, talented receivers either, but might help them be able to focus a little bit more on the run and Lindsay, and wild group of rookies that the Broncos have, a talented group of rookies that they have, and the 49ers are going to be contending with numerous young players on the Broncos squad Sunday. Now, I've got an email from Tony. Is this the same Tony? Tony, did you sneak an email and a Twitter question in? If so, brilliant, because you got it by me. I didn't realize if I don't know if it's a different Tony or not. I just have it in my notes here that this is an email from Tony. He says, usually that sort of shellacking at the hands of the hated Seahawks would ruin my week. However, actually, in retrospect, I enjoyed the game on Sunday. Pettis looks like he's going to be the starter at X. And as much as I like Goodwin, I wonder where Marquise lines up next year. Marcel Harris, he flashed to my untrained eye. He has size and speed, and I'm stoked to see what happens when John Lynch gets his defense a pass rusher. Seriously loved seeing Harris. Wilson Jr., he runs like I had hoped Alfred Morris was going to. Enough speed, but also has power and size that Breida and Mostert lack. Reminds me of Broncos' Mike Williams. I hope he can somehow end up on the 53 next year with Jet coming back, so that means he'll sign with the Seahawks and go deep into the playoffs with them. Who are the best sideline-to-sideline linebackers in free agency and the draft? Now that we lost Reuben, we need that position. So frustrating that the Redskins get him for free. Thanks, as always. Great podcast, Tony. Thank you very much for the email, Tony. So much there. Let's go to the Pettis part. Looks like he's going to be a starter at X. They've been using him at X behind Goodwin. Now that Goodwin's coming back this week, I mean, I don't think they'll move Goodwin. I wonder if they might try Pettis on the other side at the Z wide receiver spot. I don't know. That's going to be an interesting one because it doesn't look like Pierre Garçon's going to play, and they might just shut Pierre Garçon down all season. And you know, there's no reason to have Garçon playing over Pettis right now. So those two got to play. Is it easier for the veteran to move over and play the other spot, or would they give Pettis the look at the other spot because they want those guys to play together? Goodwin's the X for a reason. I think Pettis could do both. but it depends in his development. If he learned one spot, it might be harder. So, yeah, they're going to be out there together, I would think. I mean, that would be silly if Pettis is suddenly on the bench now and Kendrick Bourne is playing the other spot, right? So, yeah, that's going to be interesting to watch, and we probably won't know. And that I don't think the 49ers are going to tell us anything, and so keep it a secret from the Broncos. So we'll see when they line up for that first play next week. But, yeah, I got to believe it's Goodwin and Pettis that are going to be out there on Sunday. Marcel Harris definitely flashed. He's definitely not afraid to hit people. That's what, you know, John Lynch loved about him. And so it's, it might take him a little time. He's been hurt, missed a lot of time at Florida, and missed the first half of this season, but he needs those reps. So, yeah, let's see him out there, see him go hit people. And he definitely flashed, and so it's going to be fun to watch his development. They thought he was going to be ready for training camp. It turned out he was not. But it's nice that he did get some run this year and he's able to get on the field. And, you know, I don't know if he's a future starter, special teams guy that can thump a little bit. But, yeah, get some run, Marcel Harris. I like it. Wilson Jr., I totally agree. We talked about him with Nick a lot on Tuesday's show. And he's just got enough juice as a big-bodied running back, and the style he runs is fun to watch. Mike Williams is a great comp. I hadn't thought about that one. Yeah, that bigger-bodied, like taller, he's 6 feet tall. He's not, you know, super oversized or anything. But some solid size, tall. He runs hard. He trucked dudes on Sunday against the Seahawks. Fun to watch him play. And look, running backs are going to have success in this scheme with Kyle Shanahan. It's clear. Like everyone they've put back there has had some success. And, you know, get a young guy who is no nonsense, sees the hole, and can hit it. And Wilson can do that. Let's see, what's the next part? Who are the best sideline-to-sideline linebackers? Well, in free agency, C.J. Mosley would probably be that guy. In the draft, there's Mack Wilson from Alabama. I really like Devin Bush, the young man from Michigan. He's a little bit undersized. I don't know if he's the best coverage guy, but he's definitely sideline-to-sideline and will hit you a little bit undersized. He's not as much of a rangy linebacker, a little more stout, but I like him a lot. Dude from LSU. Devin White, he's also very good. Like there's some good linebackers, but I just don't know if the 49ers need to draft one super high. They spent a lot of money. I don't know what the contract situation is with, you know, as far as dead money, if they can get rid of Malcolm Smith's salary. I think if they do, it would probably be after free agency in the draft and they had added some other people and then a post June 1st cut for Malcolm Smith, because I think he's still got too much money left on. Yeah, it was like a 5-year contract he signed last year. So you got Malcolm Smith in the mix. There's probably a 50% chance he's the starter next year too. I mean, let's just be honest with ourselves. They can't sign everybody in free agency, and they only have one pick in each round, and they need some other stuff too. So I don't know if that second linebacker spot, if they're going to make a huge splash there. But they're going to add somebody, either free agency, either draft. I just don't know if it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be a first or second round player, most likely in the draft. And it's probably not going to be a big money free agent unless they're not able to get some other positions in free agency that they would be trying to get. It's about time to take a quick break here. And it's a good time to tell you guys about our friends at Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment. With Action Heat, their clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat that can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion battery that lasts up to 12 hours on each charge. So Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget you might be wearing on yourself, which is really cool. So I always envision myself at the top of the mountain, and which is a reminder. And look, when I'm reporting traffic at work, recently this week and seeing all the snow that's going on in Tahoe, I'm like, oh man, I got to get up there. And I'm picturing myself at the top of the mountain, ready to ski down. Maybe my phone's starting to die on me. I can recharge it with my Action Heat that's also keeping me warm at the top of a snowy mountain. I mean, it's just an awesome sight for me. And I know my wife is going to love it because she's constantly cold. It doesn't matter if it's 70 degrees outside, she would probably wear some Action Heat. And especially when it gets into the cold winter months, that's something she's going to enjoy getting for Christmas. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, whether you're working outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, anybody that loves outdoors or just hates being cold. They've got heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments and products that fit everyone's budget starting at just $39.99. And of course, as a listener of Locked On 49ers, a special offer for you. Save 20% off your entire order for yourself, for gifts for your friends and family. 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or just use the coupon code Locked On, one word, Locked On, at checkout to save 20%. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all of your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. Let's move on to Tyrone's email. He said, "What's up, BP? Hope you're closer to that 1 million download. You deserve it, champ. Keep up the excellent work." Thank you so much, Tyrone. And yes, we are getting close. We're over around 950,000 downloads for the year, and I'm going to be giving away what looks to be a George Kittle jersey, because that's the overwhelming favorite from what folks have said on Facebook and on Twitter about whose jersey they would want to have in the giveaway. So when I get there, and I'm on pace to get there, hopefully I do it before Christmas so I can send out a nice Christmas present to somebody with a nice George Kittle jersey. Or I can just wait and let the person who wins choose what jersey I send their way. Maybe that's the smart way to do it. But I'll let everybody know how the actual giveaway is going to work. It'll probably be a Twitter post. So if you're not on Twitter yet, create yourself an account on Twitter. Follow me at BD Peacock. I'll set everything up there. We'll probably have something to wear. I just don't want people who are not listening to the show see the tweet and then retweet it, and then they're entered in the contest. I want to make sure it goes to a listener. So I'll probably have something like, you've got to tweet, you've got to respond to my tweet with like a photo of yourself listening to the podcast, or just a photo of your device listening to the podcast. You don't have to put yourself in the photo. And then that way you'll be entered into the giveaway, and I'll send that jersey somewhere as a big thank you to all you guys for getting me close to that and over that 1 million download mark this year. It's been pretty awesome. Tyrone's question is, with Clay Matthews becoming a free agent this offseason, if Green Bay chooses not to re-sign him, should our Niners go after him, and would he be a good fit? I think he would be a good fit. He'd be a great fit for that outside linebacker position, the Sam spot for the 49ers, which is essentially a 3-4 outside linebacker type of player. So rush standing up, he can put his hand on the ground, three-point stance, and rush the quarterback on obvious long and late third down distances. And he is not the youngest guy. I think he's 32 or 3 years old now. And so it's a short year deal. It's a stopgap player, but you need a Sam and you need a Leo. So let's paint the picture of what the 49ers offseason looks like. There might be very few defensive ends that are good pass rushers that hit the free agent market. So instead of overpaying for one of those guys, maybe you could bring a guy in like Matthews, who's, you know, California kid, maybe bring him home to the West Coast, have him play a year or two with the 49ers, and then you draft Nick Bosa. If you have the number one pick in the draft, then he's your guy there. So now you have your Leo in Bosa. Now you have your Sam in Clay Matthews. And then you can still draft another Sam and another, you know, maybe a situational type rusher later in the draft, someone to develop and maybe ends up taking Clay Matthews' spot eventually. But I like the idea of a short-term stopgap player in Clay Matthews. That way you don't have to pay a ton of money in free agency for one of these other guys when you know you can draft Nick Bosa. And with those guys together, and look, it's just a guy who knows football, who knows how to make plays. And I think the 49ers lack a little bit of that, even though he might not be as quick and explosive as he was when he was 23. Clay Matthews, I think, would be a nice fit, and I think he's somebody that the 49ers would definitely look at in free agency. I don't know where he wants to go, you know, what the Packers' plans are with him, but I would have no problem with, especially since you can't, you know, you need that Sam, you need the Leo. If Nick Bosa in the draft is your Leo, now you got your Sam. Now you're starting to cook. Now you're starting to envision that starting 11 on defense, and you've got just really sound players. You know, you feel strong with the guys who are penciled in the starting lineup. And then you can still develop guys behind Clay Matthews and some more situational rushers, some more speed off the edge as well. So you don't ignore the position after that. But, you know, I like that combo. Young guy Bosa, old guy Clay Matthews to try to help fix the 49ers' edge needs. Let's move on to Jason on Twitter. He says, 49ers Christmas wish list on offense. An elite wide receiver, okay, that's one, and a do-everything speedster like Cohen, Tyreek Hill type, okay, that's two. On defense, we need a lot. Edge times two, safeties who aren't fragile, more speed in the front seven. Looking at all 11 starters on D, we only have 3 to 5 keepers. Okay, interesting. So you named your wish list of 6 things there. A wide receiver, a do-everything speedster type sort of a running back hybrid wide receiver. Well, first of all, that player is Jerick McKinnon, I think. We've seen what Breida can do. If Jerick McKinnon is as good a receiver as Kyle Shanahan hoped he was when he signed him, and he's back from his torn ACL, that's a pretty solid combo right there. And Jerick McKinnon is your Tariq Cohen. I think a little Richie James could do a little bit of that too. Obviously, those are two very different players. Tyreek Hill gives you stuff way down the field that the other guys don't, like a running back would, but he can run wide receiver routes and he can be a terror out of the backfield. So a do everything type. I think maybe that's your so maybe that's that elite wide receiver. That's tough because I don't think one of those players is going to be available. And actually, the next question I have is one of those veterans. Free agent-wise, maybe trade-wise, someone who's already at that level in the NFL, that's going to be hard to come by. I think you have to draft and develop those elite wide receivers. So maybe you're looking at round two in the draft. And there's a lot of big-bodied wide receivers in this draft. It's really lining up right now for the 49ers' needs, I think, with the way the draft board is looking, with all the good edge players that should be available in the draft, all the big-bodied wide receivers that would be perfect to go long-term with guys like Pettis and Richie James and Marquise Goodwin that are smaller guys. John Ledyard, when I had him on the show last week, and by the way, if you haven't heard the two-parter with John Ledyard, we talk a lot about the draft. That's an evergreen episode. You can listen to that episode probably up until April, so go check those out from last week. John Ledyard from the Locked On NFL Draft podcast and the Draft Network. We talked a lot about this, but he mentioned how, you know, if you build your wide receiving core, it's kind of like a basketball team. You got your point guard and your shooting guard, but you need like your power forward, and the 49ers still need that power forward, I think. And I don't think Kyle Shanahan is ever going to want to draft or sign just somebody who's big and that's it, you know, a rebounder, a stiff. He wants someone who can still help out between the 20s, you know, who was a tough player. Kyle Shanahan loves toughness. It's what he loved about C.J. Beathard. It's what he loved even about a 5'8", 180-pound wide receiver in Trent Taylor. He likes toughness, so he wants to see that, I think, maybe less so in Dante Pettis, who was more of just a pure separator, I think, in college. I think that's what he liked about him, and we're starting to see that now. But year two, year three is huge for wide receivers. It takes some time with those guys, so I expect a big jump from Richie James, and maybe he's your long-term slot guy. I expect a big jump from Dante Pettis. You've got Marquise Goodwin. I don't know how long he's going to be around. He's still got a couple more years on his contract, but I think you still need to develop that other, you know, that alpha sort of big, strong, basically what they brought Pierre Garçon in to be, but they need a young rookie version of that in this next draft. And around that second round range could be a perfect spot to find that player. And then you just have to develop the guys that you have in-house. But I don't think they need to go crazy at the wide receiver position as far as drafting a guy in the top 10 or spending a ton of money on a mediocre free agent, because I don't see anybody that's going to be out there, or trading all your draft assets for, you know, somebody else's old wide receiver that used to be great and maybe doesn't have that much time left. So that's how I feel about the wide receiver position right now. And that development is going to be huge, which is why we're going to look a lot at the development of the guys the 49ers do have, the young guys, as we go forward for the rest of this year. On defense, edge times one, edge times two. Absolutely. But 100%. I'm with you on that. Safeties who aren't fragile. Well, I think the number one free agent acquisition the 49ers could go after this offseason is a guy who's broken his leg twice in Earl Thomas. So, you know, the injury thing, it's tough. It's been tough for the 49ers. But let's say they sign Earl Thomas in free agency. Then you've got Tart. Then you got Colbert backing him up. You got Marcel Harris backing up Tart. I think you've got a little bit better depth there. And, you know, you can still draft and develop a mid-round guy, but, you know, you got to knock that free safety need off of your list, I think, in free agency if you can do it with the guy who's just perfectly fit to run in this scheme, and we've seen run in this scheme. And then you worry about just adding some depth to the secondary, which I totally agree with. And so that's how I would attack this thing, I think. That's the way I look at it. If you go with, like, say, Clay Matthews, like Tyrone mentioned, and then you draft Nick Bosa, now you're starting to knock off starters there on your front seven. So maybe the 49ers aren't that far away, just a couple of key guys, and then you've got to continue to develop and draft well. All right, got to take a quick break here. We'll be back with more mailbag after this. Okay, Locked On 49ers mailbag. Let's keep this rolling with Granini. I Granini on Twitter. He says, "Hi, Brian. What do you think? Should the Niners try to trade for AJ Green? Who knows? Maybe available." That's tough because it's so hard to know who's actually going to be available. And let's say And dude, Cincinnati will not fire Marvin Lewis either. So I think it would take a full-fledged rebuild for them to move on from someone like A.J. Green, who's been their best player for a long time now. But then, okay, so let's say Cincinnati decides, yeah, we're going to scrap this thing and start over, or we're going to see what we can get for A.J. Green. Then what are they asking? Would anything less than the 49ers' first-round pick get you A.J. Green? Because you're not touching the first-round pick if you're the 49ers. So I just – it's – I see like that is one of those things that would be very hard. Maybe there's a situation the 49ers could do, and I know a lot of people have talked about this with Jalen Ramsey from the Jaguars too, is you trade down in the first round, swap picks with Jacksonville or swap picks with Cincinnati, who's also going to be drafting pretty high, and then their capital they're using to trade up would be their player that the 49ers want, A.J. Green or Jalen Ramsey. I don't know if one of those kind of trades would be there. I would still just probably stick and draft Nick Bosa, but maybe if the 49ers end up at pick two or three, and so then they can jump down five or 10 spots and add a stud player, then it might make more sense. But who would that team be trading up for that they love so much? And until someone like A.J. Green is actually available, it's just not something I think is in the plans for the 49ers, but it's worth exploring some veteran options. Yeah. And if a guy like A.J. Green is available, see if you can swing something, but you can't overpay for that. And he's had a lot of injuries himself, and he's definitely not the youngest guy anymore, but he's still got, I think, plenty of gas in the tank. So he would be an interesting option if he were to become available, and maybe one of the most likely really elite wide receivers that actually could possibly see the market. But I wouldn't bet on it. Let's go to my guy Kruger on Twitter. He says, Niners with one remaining try to avoid the first winless road season since 1979 and two chances to avoid the first season without a divisional win since 1978. Even the wretched 2004, 2007, and 2016 teams accomplished both. Wow. And it might come down to that last week, week 17. It will come down to that for the road win. The last road game the 49ers have is week 17 in LA against the Rams. Are the Rams going to be resting their starters, getting ready for a little playoff run, or are they going to be competing for something in that 17th week? That's going to be an interesting question. They could knock both of those off their list in week 17. But, man, that just sort of – and thanks for that sort of context, Kruger, because it's just one of those things that reminds you how bad the 49ers have been this year. And even though it doesn't – that's a great word, too, those wretched teams – I don't feel like the 49ers are at the level of some of the bad 49ers teams I've seen in my lifetime. But when you look at numbers and look at their record and what's going on right now, they've played that bad. You know, you're 2-10 right now. That's, you kind of got to own that. But I guess this is that perfect spot where you throw in the little anecdote that Bill Walsh's first 2 years combined 8 wins with the 49ers, and we know how that ended. So it does take a while to build this thing. The 49ers were completely gutted. Maybe that Garoppolo run at the end of last year was a little false hope for everybody, but you know, it's, you can still see it. I can still see where it could go very, very right for the 49ers, and this offseason is so key to making that happen. Let's keep this going with Lee on Twitter. He says, "Hi, Brian. Once again, love the podcast. No other comes close to it." Thank you very much, Lee. I appreciate that very much. Comparing Nick Bosa with the likes of Chubb and Garrett as the first two rushers off the board from the last two drafts coming out of college, how would he fare? I'm hoping he's held in the same regard as his brother was when he was picked. Yeah, so you had Joey Bosa, then you had Myles Garrett, then you had Bradley Chubb. Those were all, you know, high-level edge players. They were well thought of in college well before they ended up being, you know, players in the draft. So they had production. They had years of production in college, and then they had, you know, they put out workouts and did everything in the pre-draft process to really solidify their stock. And I think, well, obviously Nick Bosa, the closest representation of him is his brother, Joey Bosa. I think Nick Bosa is a touch twitchier, as the scouting folk like to say, more quick twitch fibers. I think he's a little bit more explosive than his big brother, but Joey Bosa is bigger. But for what the 49ers need right now, that's perfect. So Nick Bosa might be, maybe he's, in the end, maybe he's not as good as those three guys, but I think he's right there on par. I think he's definitely right there with Chubb as far as physical gifts. Myles Garrett was a freak of nature, but a little more raw, and we're seeing him develop a little bit more slowly, but he's still a beast in the NFL, and sometimes he just, you know, he's a little bit like Jadeveon Clowney in that regard, where it might take Garrett a little while to reach that peak, which could be better than all these guys, because he's just a freak of nature. But Nick Bosa, I think, is someone who's going to hit the ground running and be good from week one, year one, which is really key for the 49ers as well. And he's a perfect fit for what the 49ers want to do with that Leo spot. He's good against the run. He's a powerful player. He's got some juice as a rusher. He's got some flexibility and bend. You watch him play and watch his body lean as he's moving around. And you know, he's got counter moves. He's good with his hands. So for all those reasons, he's a lot like his brother, maybe slightly smaller, maybe slightly quicker than Joey, because Joey's a monstrous, beastly dude. What was Joey? 6'5", 270 coming out of college. I think Nick Bosa is more like 6'3 and a half, 6'4, 260. So yeah, just a little bit smaller. But they play so they look a lot alike, and it's hard to tell them apart sometimes. So that's perfect for the 49ers. If I had to rank all those guys, I would put them very close to Joey, and I would put him probably ahead of Chubb. And I mean, physically, Garrett would, I think if Garrett was in this draft, I think he would go before Nick Bosa, because he had some production in college as well to match Bosa, but he's also just, you know, his work, you're not going to catch that workout and that physical ability. So I think the upside in Garrett, he would definitely go first, and then it would be the Bosas back-to-back, and then it would be Chubb, if I had to guess how they would be ranked. So Bosa's right there. He's absolutely right there. He's a top five pick any year, and in this year, there's no quarterback that's going to go there. He's going to be the number one pick. Now, the only thing that could stop him from being that number one pick and solidifying that status would be if he just doesn't work out as good as I think he could, and if maybe maybe some of the other edge guys blow it out of the water at the combine, and which is completely possible because there are some really athletic guys that are edge players. And so maybe teams think, well, man, we can wait because there's this other guy who could be better. And you know, you get wooed by that athleticism, because it's not like he's going to go. I mean, Nick Bosa is not going to go run like a 4.5 or something, you know, at 260 pounds. But I think he'll work out pretty well. And the other thing is the injury. You know, he had that core muscle injury, I think it was, that held him out for a while. And then he ended up just saying, you know what, I'm going to go get ready and get myself. But the thing is, he's had so much extra time on all these guys to prepare for the draft. I think he's going to knock the workouts out of the park. I just think he is. And let's finish this up with my boy Raul, I believe, who is tweeting from Brazil. He says, during the offseason, you believed the Niners would be a playoff team in 2019. After this tragic season, all the injuries and the question marks on the coaching staff, do you keep that prediction? I'm trying hard to keep the faith. Raul, thank you very much for the question. I think it's a little bit more difficult to believe that the 49ers will be a playoff team, like throw money down, it's like Niners playoffs 2019. I think the Niners are going to be so much better in 2019 than they were this year, though. And competing for a playoff spot, I absolutely believe they will. Obviously, quarterback is number one that they're going to get back. They just had some bad luck this year. Ball's not bouncing their way, not getting any turnovers. With all the injuries, obviously, I think some of those luck factors will just, you know, naturally regress to the mean next year. And then on top of that, they're just going to be infinitely more talented. You're going to add that potential top pick in the draft, number one, at worst, number three overall in the draft. You're going to add that talent. If they end up trading down, that means you're going to have multiple picks. You got your quarterback. You got your running back, one back. It's just it's going to be such a better team. Another year in the offense. So all the young players on offense are going to know the offense better, be playing better together. The defense, I think a lot of the similarities there with the offense as far as like even without adding the talent that they will be adding, I think they'll just play better. They'll know the scheme better. They'll have played it together more. So I think all that stuff will help. And they're going to be a better team. They're going to be more competitive. And I think they will be competing for a playoff spot. And they will not be eliminated. Let's put it this way. Week 12 next year, the 49ers will not have been eliminated from the playoffs yet. All right, let's end it on that note. Thanks, everybody, for getting those questions in. Apologies to the people I did not get to, but keep those mailbag questions coming at BD Peacock on Twitter. Email lockedon49ers@gmail.com. And I'll be back tomorrow with a little Film Friday right here on Locked On 49ers.